Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app. You can call, you can text, you can connect with Town Call. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free. It's easy to download. And it's Wednesday, October 18th, the Wednesdayest Wednesday of the week. Joined by Mr. Aaron Zommers and Mr. Luke Mathers on this Wednesday afternoon. Gentlemen, how are we feeling today?
It's a good Wednesday, Will. Just on the road myself, using the Civic Media app on the go. I'm in the Waukesha studios, holding down the fort in the Shaw. Shout out to Greg Bach and Jane Matinere of As Goes Wisconsin. Just wrapping up here in the Shaw studios and leaving some room for me, thankfully, because I'm in their territory. I'm in their backyard here in the Shaw.
I'm doing pretty well, too, on this Wednesday, but it is a little lonely here. So, because I've been so used to not having Luke here, and now finally he came back yesterday and Monday, and now he's gone
just
again.
Just to abandon you again.
But I still gotta say,
yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday.
I love it. We were joking without you, Luke, that we're gonna edit that clip a little bit, change the pitch, slow it down, make it a little faster to. Like just slight differences so that
slow
Aaron
it down,
has some
then
way.
Speed it back up. What?
Well, no. It depends on how he's feeling that Wednesday. So it's not just the same clip. Like if he's feeling really good, it's going to be a more energetic feeling good on a Wednesday, but of the same clip. And if he's having a not so great a day, I compared it to those, you know, if you go to the doctor's office and you see the images of the smiley faces and it's like, how are you feeling today? Or how much pain are you in? And zero is just like, the generic emoji smile, and 10 is like the big frowny face, angry face, like that, except with the same clip of feeling good on a Wednesday.
Gotcha.
You feeling me, or did I lose you somewhere along?
You lost me, but that's okay.
It makes sense to me.
Well, we'll still be here for the entirety of
Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, just workshop it.
We're going to workshop it a little bit. We'll get back to you with a stronger product. I'm, of course, William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by the squad on this Wednesday, October 18th. We got a very fun show for you today. We're going to be covering the public comment controversy, if you want to call it that, of Republicans conceding in legal filings that they do not, in fact, lack standing to remove Megan Wolf from her position. And then we'll be having Mr. Dan Schaefer on at the 12:30 time slot to discuss all things Milwaukee. We're going to be recombobulating on this Wednesday afternoon. We got tons and tons of fun stories to cover. But first, Luke, I have some bad news. Unfortunately, with an upcoming schedule change, Civic will be changing the show appearance order on the day for our daily scheduled programming, and Town Call will no longer be on the air with you. We've had so much fun talking all things Wisconsin with you, the listeners. You are the people who make this show go, and you are the reason that we love to do this every single day, hearing from you, talking to you, getting your text messages, being able to have the conversations that the people of Wisconsin need to have. We're going to miss you all so very, very much, but we'll still be around. We'll be, you can reach out to us via social media. You can reach out to us via the Civic Media app if you're interested. There are tons of ways to still connect with the network, and we will be bringing you tons of excellent programming in some of our many other forms. Unfortunately, it will not be with Town Call, but again, we will always be with you in spirit.
Yeah, Friday being the last show, the last edition of Town Call coming up on this upcoming Friday. But be thrilled to be with you. I mean, we've got a changing dynamic here across the media landscape with what we're doing here at Civic Media. There are some changes coming, but it will be interesting to see exactly where Will and I will pop up next. Because as Will said, you know, we're not going to be gone. We'll still be around, and we're thrilled to be with you for these next couple days here on Town Call.
We'll find a way to weasel the Wednesdays with Will and somewhere else. I'm not sure where You're going to have to stay tuned to find out, or maybe you can guess on Twitter, and the first person to get it right will get like a virtual high five from me or something. I'm not sure. I haven't determined what the best prize may or may not be. But until we get to that point, we still got three more days with you, the lovely people of Wisconsin, and we're going to be covering all things Wisconsin in that time frame. Luke, I wanted to start out today with a piece over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. As I noted, despite public comments, Republicans concede in legal filing they lack the grounds to oust Megan Wolf. After voting last month to fire the nonpartisan leader of Wisconsin's election agency, Senate Republicans are now saying they did not have the grounds to oust her, nor the power to replace her, despite claiming the opposite to the public. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and Senate President Chris Kapenga, in a new court filing, admitted their efforts so far to remove Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was, quote, symbolic, unquote, that Wolf is legally in her current position and that lawmakers have no power to replace her, despite GOP leaders claiming the opposite in public statements as recently as this past Sunday. So that begs the question, Luke, Aaron, and the people of Wisconsin, I want to hear your thoughts. Is this all performative? Is the entire Wisconsin GOP agenda a show designed to engage the base, knowing they do not have the legal capabilities to follow through on some of their promises? We'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Well, Will, when this vote took place, we heard from Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu that the math was there. They had the vote to take up the renomination of Administrator Wolf because it was a 3-0 vote. And so I'm confused what happened between that vote and them taking up and saying that they had the authority between then and now in this legal filing for them to say, oh, actually the math quite isn't there, Will.
I can tell you what happened. Multiple weeks of time passed, which allowed the story to get brushed under the rug with Americans' relatively, we'll call it goldfish-type memories, that it's really, really easy to forget what news or notes of the day is not immediately in front of your face. They must have just assumed that Americans and Wisconsinites would forget that they took this stand and would assume they're still doing everything in their power to push for it. Keep in mind, they did not announce this publicly. This was in a court filing that their statements were released. So they're telling the American legal system one thing, and they're telling their base and the people of Wisconsin an entirely different thing.
Yeah, it is important to note what venue this information came out in, and it being in a legal filing saying, hey, we don't actually let... It was ceremonial. That's what it was. Please hear it as in this court case as a ceremonial vote, not... It's more of a vibes vote than anything, Will, is what it comes down to, according to this court filing.
Well, and it gets a little more interesting as well, Luke. As of yesterday, another piece over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Robin Voss backs away from lawsuit over attempts to oust elections chief Megan Wolf. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has distanced himself from his Senate counterparts in the ongoing dispute over the state's top election official, telling reporters on Tuesday, yesterday, he's asked to be removed from a lawsuit filed against Republican lawmakers who have attempted to oust her. Attorneys for Voss, Devin LeMahieu and Chris Kapenga, and in the new court filing, as we noted, admitted their efforts so far to remove WEC Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic. Wolf was in her position legally, and lawmakers have no power to replace her. But the filing made on Monday by their Republican defendants of that lawsuit asked a judge to bar the legislative leaders from taking further action to remove Wolf, and Robin Voss now saying that this lawsuit, quote, is the Senate's lawsuit. Of course, I was named in the lawsuit, but the attorneys are not ours. We are not involved in negotiations. We were not involved in any of that. That's the Senate's thing. When he was asked if that means he disagrees with the filing, Voss said he thinks the law is, quote, crystal clear, unquote, that there is a mechanism to appoint a replacement for Wolf through the legislature's Joint Committee on Legislative Organization. It's a totally different position than if somebody is appointed to be on the Board of Regents or to be on the DNR board, where there's really no replacement mechanism. We already have that in law. So the Senate took their position. I don't necessarily agree with it, but again, it's their lawsuit with the attorneys, unquote. So Robin Voss can't even seem to get his story straight in this regard either. The Republicans can't get their story straight. This is interesting. This is very, very interesting.
Yeah, it seems that there's a little disconnect between the state assembly and the state Senate when it comes to the Republican caucuses on these, because they're trying to say now, oh no, the Frederick Prenn rule doesn't apply here because it's a different board. It's not the Natural Resources Board, it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So ipso facto, a vacancy does, you know, get created. Or I don't understand how that argument gets applied, because
whatever argument benefits the current position I'm trying to argue is
the renomination vote. Still, it was a 3-0, and you need a majority of Wisconsin elections commissioners to consider a renomination. So I don't understand how saying, oh, I'm going to leave that lawsuit because it doesn't agree. I don't agree with the findings from my counterparts in the state Senate because of this theory. It's nonsensical a little bit, Will, to be defending all of these differing points just because they're not getting their way and they want to see their way become the way. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. So it's going to be a court case that we're going to have to keep an eye on. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to the phone lines quick. We got a couple minutes before the break. We got Keith from Fonelec on the line. Keith, what are your thoughts on the attempt to oust Chief Elections Administrator Megan Wolf?
That's terrible. Did you say your show was getting canceled?
Yes, we did.
Oh, you did. I'll look at the bright side. At least you guys lasted longer than CNN Plus.
Appreciate that, Keith. We try to be as entertaining as possible, but we try to be as informative as possible, too, because I think that's what's really important, is making sure the people of Wisconsin understand what's going on in their communities and are able to have these kind of conversations in a place where they feel not only comfortable and confident talking about it, but where they feel like they can express their true opinions, and we're able to have these kind of back and forths on what's really important to Wisconsin in particular. You know, we are local homegrown radio refreshed. We're trying to bring a new approach to homegrown radio, and we want to be able to kind of showcase that when we're talking with our great listeners throughout the state of Wisconsin. So
appreciate the phone call, Keith.
Go ahead, Luke.
No, just saying, appreciate the phone call. Here on Town Call, we are going to be joined by one friends of the show, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area, coming up as well. Going to have at least one more Wednesday Recombobulation with Dan. Number of things going on in the Milwaukee and Wisconsin area. I don't know if you guys just saved all the... Clearly, there wasn't all the news saved for my absence. Like, there was clearly stuff going on that I had to be caught up on. But boy,
there's always
it feels
stuff
like
going on, Luke.
3 weeks of news almost just occurred over the last 3 days as well, Will. So there's no shortage of things we need to recombobulate on. I did go to a number of airports, but did not get a picture. I have yet to be in the Milwaukee airport since Dan's been joining us on the show and been aware of the recombobulation area to get my selfie with the sign. But Dan Schaefer coming up next on Town Call. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the Recombobulation area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday, and that means we are doing some recombobulating with Mr. Dan Schaefer. Dan, how are you doing this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing well. Always a joy to hear that intro and always a joy to talk to you fellas. Happy to be here.
I know we make the joke, but it seriously gets better every time I hear it.
Was it every single intro in my absence when you so graciously filled in for those couple days? Was it every in and out? Did you no. enter the recombobulation and then leave and then enter? How many times was it played in my absence?
You mean you didn't go back and listen to every episode while you were?
I have not completely caught up on every episode in my absence.
Well, no spoilers. Doesn't do his homework. You'll have to go back and listen to it yourself.
It's a little treat. I'm going to listen at a 3.5 speed, I guess. So yeah, I'll have to catch it.
See how Bobby Portis quotes in 70, let that 70 show quotes sound at 3.5 speed.
There we go.
What else is new? Luke not doing his homework. It makes me think of the door itself in the Twilight Zone intro. Can you imagine if we were just like stepping in and out of it back and forth? Like you step into it and then you hear Bobby Portis's voice in the background and then you step out and it's silent again. You step back in and it's Bobby Portis's voice and you step out and it's silent again. Somebody needs to get me. That sounds like a fun video game idea. I would play that. I mean, I would play anything, honestly, but I'm all in on anything that Bobby Portis slaps his name on. So we're going to be doing some recombobulating today. We got a lot of fun conversations to have with Mr. Dan Schaefer. But Dan, I wanted to start with a piece over at the recombobulation area on the Brewers Stadium deal and its complicated question. As Mr. Milwaukee, the expert himself, what are your thoughts on the new bill to spend more than $545 million in public dollars for maintenance and upgrades at AmFam?
Well, the bill passed the assembly yesterday with a pretty overwhelming and very bipartisan vote. And so now it will head to the Senate. Where I think it will face a little bit more of an uphill climb, but I still would, you know, expect some sort of deal to pass. But as I argued in that column, I think as it stands right now, this deal is not a home run, and I think it can stand to improve. I laid out a few different ways that it could improve, and I think, you know, to break it down into three things that could improve for it. I think adding a ticket surcharge to remove some of the financial burden for the deal for local government in particular would be a good thing. I think there should be some level of funding from the surrounding counties. The five county region funded the construction of then Miller Park with the stadium tax, and now wealthier counties like Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington are not part of this deal. I think they can stand to afford to contribute a little bit.
Especially because they benefit from having the Brewers around. A significant number of those individuals are the ones coming down to Milwaukee to be able to tailgate. They want the empty parking space. They want to be able to enjoy their time. They should have to contribute as well. I agree completely.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even the data from the MMAC's commissioned study showed that the majority of the people who come to games at American Family Field are from outside of Milwaukee County, the majority, which I think is really interesting. And then the third piece of it that I think should improve is that there should be a real commitment for a beer district type of development. They created something that they that I think the city referred to as a pathway to development, you know, kind of creating this working group to study the possibility of maybe someday doing something in the parking spaces and surrounding area at American Family Field. I think they should make that a real commitment, because if we're going to have this type of mammoth investment, I think you should have some direct economic development for the city and county of Milwaukee in the immediate footprint of the stadium. So those are the big three things that I think could change after this goes to the Senate: the ticket surcharge, funding from surrounding counties, and a real commitment for a beer district type of development.
And to provide a little bit of context too, Dan, so when we talk about the amount of dollars that are involved in this, as it currently stands, you noted that the funding piece of the deal is $411 million in state funding, $135 million in local funding split between the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, and only $100 million from the Milwaukee Brewers itself. So a vast majority of this is coming from tax dollars, from state and public funding.
Yeah, and that was the case when the stadium was built as well. You know, unlike the Fiserv Forum deal, which I also wrote a breakdown of, comparing the Brewers American Family Field deal to the Fiserv Forum deal, you know, the private contribution for constructing the stadium was basically non-existent, and now it's $100 million, whereas the Bucks arena was more close to a 50-50 split between public and private. I think it's clear that the Fiserv Forum deal was a better one than the one that is currently being discussed for American Family Field. It had, you know, relied more on some of these special taxes, some of the, like the ticket surcharge and some of the Wisconsin Center District taxes, like on car rentals and hotel rooms that will go to fund that and a number of the downtown projects that are under the governorship of the Wisconsin Center District. And I think this one, you know, relying so heavily on the public contribution, you know, like you mentioned, more than $400 million in state funding, more than $130 million in local funding. You know, the private contribution of this is more than the total cost of constructing Fiserv Forum. You know, it's a really, really huge number overall. It rose significantly from when Governor Evers initially proposed it at $290 million to just be paid directly through the surplus. So, you know, I think there are some questions with this as it goes forward. We'll see what happens in the state Senate. I think that some of the priorities should be, though, to lessen the burden on Milwaukee city and county so that, you know, folks like me who live in the city of Milwaukee are not basically triple taxed on this, you know, pulling a contribution from the city of Milwaukee's budget, from Milwaukee County's budget, and from the state budget. So you're really getting hit three different times over the course of this deal. And, you know, we want the Brewers to say, like as I broke down in the piece, I'm not somebody who is completely opposed to stadium funding in all aspects. I think, you know, there are some who have made that case ideologically. It's a more than fair argument to make. It's not one that I necessarily agree with. So I think, you know, that we need to find some sort of solution, but I think there's room for this deal to improve as it heads to the Senate. And I think that should be the priority right now, is improving this deal before it is, you know, ultimately passed. And I think the likelihood of it passing, when you have, you know, stakeholders like you have Governor Evers, you have the Assembly Speaker, you have the Mayor of Milwaukee, the County Executive of Milwaukee, all in favor of the deal, I think it is very likely that it does pass. So right now, I think the priority should be on finding places to improve it before it gets to that finish line, before it gets to the ninth inning. We're at the seventh inning stretch right now, as I mentioned.
Still time, though.
I'm gonna force in a few baseball puns.
Rally cap on then, Dan. Rally cap? That's what we gotta get. Because folks, you are listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on this Wednesday afternoon. If you've got thoughts to share on the proposed funding solution to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee for the better part of the next two decades. Now, I got a little scratchy when I was gone. I believe it's through 2050, but I don't know if...
2050 now, yeah.
2050. It's one of those things, though, as well, Dan, as you've discussed the price tag. When we initially heard it, it was like $110 million only. And now it's almost five, six times the size of that with what we're getting at. I'm more of the stance that... it's strange that the aspect of owning a major league sports franchise apparently is not lucrative enough to be able to pay for stadium improvements, but it's lucrative enough to go buy more major league, well, club level soccer teams, because that is what the majority owner of the Milwaukee Brewers did in recent time. Is doesn't have enough money to fund the stadium changes that he wants to see, but can go buy an English soccer club or football club on the other side of the world. It's interesting that this price tag blew up from $110 million to then the proposed solution that Evers included in his budget that was laughed out of the room. Republican lawmakers at the time, when they cut it, said that's unreasonable. That is not an agreeable amount. And now this is even more than that. How did we get to that point where this price tag is what it is? Do you have any insight on where all these dollars are going to go if it's not necessarily a concrete beer district or the other things that could improve? Where are these funding improvements going at American Family Field?
Before you jump into that, Dan, I gotta tap the sign, Luke. I always have to tap the sign when you set me up for it. Socialism for the rich, rugged individualism for the poor. They will take any opportunity they can to siphon public dollars into their own pockets. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I think it is ridiculous how much the price tag of this has ballooned since we initially started talking about it last year. You know, it's basically when Evers proposed that $290 million, I was taken aback by that dollar figure. And then there was a really good report, I think, from BizTimes about what exactly the asks were for American Family Field. And I think it was something in the neighborhood of $450 million that they needed for upgrades and maintenance for the stadium, you know, in the not too distant future. We know the roof leaks. We know there are some other things that need to be fixed. And so like that was basically kind of the down payment on that. So it was shaved off from the surplus instead of having, you know, an ongoing financial commitment as part of this deal, the way the Republican deal structured it. So, you know, with those, so, and there are some other requirements within the stadium district, within the way the initial laws were written, that require the stadium to be like in the top 50% of ballparks across the country. I don't know if it's 50% exactly or what it's supposed to be, but there are some
requirements. But there's a requirement there that it has to keep it up to date.
Yeah, some quality requirements that it has to be, you know, in the upper echelon of Major League Baseball stadiums. So, so I think that is part of it there. But you know, one of the other things that I reported in that piece yesterday was that the Brewers do have some financial assets that they have not tapped into. So if they need to make some of these short-term fixes, and before we get to, you know, the finish line on a deal, they could do that. They have tens of million dollars in treasury bonds that they could tap into to deal with some of the short-term issues while the long-term future of the team is sorted out. But that really has not entered the main discussion on this bill in a really significant way, where, you know, it just seems like a runaway train now, Evers did not really signal that he's he said he's going to sign whatever reaches his desk. He's not playing hardball on this one the way he has with some other issues, you know, within divided government and the legislature. So I think at this point, like I said, the priority should just be in improving the deal, because it does seem like something is going to get signed here as soon as it passes the Senate.
Folks, that is Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joining us here on Town Call. Sorry to cut you short there, Will.
You're good. I was just going to point out how humorous the piece is, Dan, where you note that there are more parking spaces at AmFam Field than Disney World in Florida. It's part of the conversation that we had here on Town Call a few months ago, where I noted Lambeau Field, 86,000 capacity, has like 8,000 parking spots or something. AmFam has a capacity of what, 44,000? And they have 19,000 parking spots, approximately. That is absurd. If you go to Dan Schaefer's Twitter, you'll see some excellent images. The overview shot of AmFam, just the concrete jungle surrounding the facility. What could be done with that space? I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a developer or have any knowledge of architecture, but that's a lot of open space. We could do some really cool stuff with that.
Yeah, it's a lot of parking. It's a lot of parking.
A lot of parking. It's a concrete prairie, more or less, than anything. It's not even a jungle. There's just concrete as far as you can see. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. We are joined by Dan Schaefer. We're going to continue the conversation, continue recombobulating. If you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app. You can call, You can text, you can connect with Town Call. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, type in Civic Media. It's free, it's easy to download, and it's Wednesday, October 18th. We are doing some recombobulating with Mr. Dan Schaefer. And Luke, you got some breaking news for me over the break in regards to the speakership race that we covered pretty extensively yesterday. What is the development?
Yeah, it was when we jumped off the air yesterday, like as soon as Town Call wrapped immediately up for the day, on Tuesday, like as we were getting off the airwaves, Jim Jordan lost his first vote for the to be nominated to be the next Speaker of the House. Today, very courteous over there in D.C., they decided to do it in the middle of the show. We know already now Jim Jordan has failed a second time. Two more defectors. He lost two more voters from the Republican caucus. So 22 Republicans voting for somebody else other than Jim Jordan on the second ballot. There will be a third ballot. There will be no Speaker of the House as of right now, here on the almost 1 o'clock hour of Wednesday. It'll be interesting. And Lawrence Andrea, reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, throwing an interesting little tidbit out there. Mike Gallagher's name, congressman here in Wisconsin, up in the northeastern portion of the state, getting possibly drafted as a alternative to Jim Jordan. So that's going to be something interesting to keep an eye on, along with all of the things that we were discussing on yesterday's edition of Town Call.
Now, Mike Gallagher did tell Lawrence Andrea that, quote, there's no chance he would consider a run for speaker, unquote. But as you noted, Luke, there are apparently a couple of people on Capitol Hill that are pushing him to consider a bid when Jordan ultimately flames out. Those are the words of Jake Sherman, the founder of Punchbowl News, not mine. But like you said, whispers are occurring. This might be something that we hear or see in the coming days. I will also note 0-2. That 1-15 is still a long way away. The Bengals are back at 500 after starting 0-2, so anything is possible.
There's always a Wisconsin connection, though, as our friend Dan Schaefer likes to say. Always a Wisconsin connection, so we had to work Wisconsin somehow into this speaker vote.
Well, maybe they'll just go through the rest of the Wisconsin delegation if Gallagher turns it down. Do you think Speaker of the House Glenn Grothman, do you think that would be a possibility at all? I don't know.
Tiffany said that he really wants to stay in the House. He's not going to take a bid for the U.S. Senate this year. So maybe he's looking for leadership in the House of Representatives.
Derek Van Orden? How about Speaker of the House, Derek Van Orden? Is that a possibility as well?
You missed our quote yesterday, Dan, on George Santos, who called one of the representatives, quote, the drunk uncle, unquote, of a Republican conference meeting. And Luke and I had to guess which representative.
I didn't guess. I was not throwing any guesses in there.
Who could that possibly be? Yeah.
We didn't name any names, but we did heavily, heavily imply who we might have been referring to.
Will did. I
or
did
at least
not.
I heavily
Will
implied.
I said I wasn't touching that one. That's for sure. So, speaking of Wisconsin things, here outside of just the Brewers Stadium funding for American Family Field, there's a lot going on at the Wisconsin Capitol right now. One of the things that is a looming crisis that the state is going to face, regardless of how much progress gets done on it or not, is the child care crisis. There are solutions that the Wisconsin state legislature and the governor can make. They can address this problem, or it's going to be a can that is kicked further down the road. It will be interesting to see what happens between now and the end of the year. We got an update earlier this week, Dan, that Governor Tony Evers moving more federal funds to the Child Care Accounts program. What can you share with us on the updates there on the child care front, something that the recombobulation area has been covering closely?
Yeah, so, you know, as we had a last month, the governor's special session that he called on child care and a number of workforce issues. Typically what they do, of course, when the governor calls a special session is Republicans will gavel in and gavel out. In this sense, they just gaveled in and then went home. The assembly has yet did not take any action at all, but the state Senate actually put it in up for a public hearing. So that public hearing was held last week. I watched most of the hearing, and it was quite something to see Republicans in that hearing. State Senator Dan Knoedl, in particular, basically suggested
my neck of the woods.
He basically suggested a number of times during that hearing that instead of funding childcare, that people should just stay home with their kids. And we know, of course, he means women, mothers should be staying home with their kids. Let's be real there. And, you know, as a number of the people in the public hearing, including State Senator Kelder Royce, who I talked to for a podcast last week about that hearing, you can go check it out, said that, you know, there was no pushback when she was claiming that he said, you just want women to stay home and stay out of the workforce. And so after that hearing, the Republicans the following day introduced their own amendment to that special session bill, basically replacing all of it. They Friday news dumped this this story saying that instead of funding childcare, we're gonna have our own plan. And guess what the plan was? Yep, it was a tax cut. Their one economic policy, a tax cut. So they were.
And it's proposing... funny because I made that exact same joke yesterday. I was like, Luke, what do you think the one thing that they
proposed? Monday, yeah.
Like, what's the one thing they proposed to counter that? And Luke was like, a tax cut. And I was like, a tax cut, of course, because what else would it be? Everybody knows that that's the only agenda that they're going to announce.
Yeah, it even included a tax credit for sending your child to private school, which I'm not sure how that connects to workforce development and stuff like that. But that's the way that Senate Republicans approached this. And Governor Evers acted pretty swiftly in response to this, saw how ridiculous it was, saw how out of touch Republicans were, and said, okay, I'm going to tap these emergency funds. It's not the full $360+ million to fully fund child care accounts. It's about $170 million that they were able to, you know, direct in towards childcare. So it is not a full solution. It is a temporary half measure emergency solution, but it is going to make a difference. And that $170 million to continue funding the Child Care Counts program, which in recent weeks was honored by the Nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum with an award for innovation in local government. So clearly a program that is working well. And I think this is a really important step. Evers has been simply terrific on this issue. I must got to hand it to him. He's been amazing on this child care issue.
Credit where credit is due.
Speaking of being amazing on keeping up with all Milwaukee and Wisconsin news, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Is that a new URL?
Yeah.
That's news from when I was gone.
While you were gone, yeah. Now you can post links on Twitter and have it actually show up in your feed.
There we go. Well, Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for joining us here on Town Call. Check out the news site, recombobulationarea.news. Dan, really appreciate it, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks as always.
We're going to be back with Office Hours tomorrow, our final segment of Office Hours, followed by the final Wisconsin headlines of the week. Can I put Mr. Luke Mathers down at the bell? Stay tuned. Find out. You're not going to want to miss it. This is Town Call. We'll see you tomorrow. Take it easy, party people.
Talk to y'all then.
Bucks and six.